brothers and sisters, the Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Lord Jesus, be in our minds and on our lips and in our hearts. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, the landowner saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You too, go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off. And he went out again around noon and around 3 o'clock and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, the landowner found others standing around and said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too, go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So, when the first came, they thought that they would receive more. But each of them also got the usual wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who bore the day's burden and the heat." He said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous?" Thus the last will be first, and the first will be last. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, again, this week, Jesus teaches us about the generosity of God. If you remember last week, it was the king who forgave this outrageous debt of a servant. If you put it in the figures, it would be about $7 billion, 200,000 years of labor. You know, and this servant said, "I'm going to pay you back." Right. But today, we see another parable about the generosity of God, and that you have a landowner, and he'd be a figure of God who owns the vineyard, and he's going to go out and find laborers to labor in the vineyard. And he goes out each different points of the day, we heard, and how those at the very end of the day hired in the 11th hour, the 5 o'clock hour, it's the 11th hour, hired for 1 hour work, received a full day's wage. Well, how can we understand this? It does seem a little unfair, I suppose, from one point of view. But if we think of it in Jewish terms, here the Jews have been laboring in the vineyard of the Lord for thousands of years, since Abraham. All those hundreds and hundreds of years of labor, being the light to the nations, lifting up the light of God's law, trying to draw others to the light. Not easy work. And here the Gentiles were coming in the very end, being welcomed to work in the vineyard now. That's the context. So they're the newcomers. They're the ones that came in the 11th hour, 5 o'clock hour. And then the reward is, of course, the same. It's a reward that, of course, goes way beyond the labor for all of us. The reward is eternal life. Someone at the last mass came up and said he heard another homily where he heard the Pope talk about the reward was death. And I think I said you got it mixed up. I think there's two different kinds of wages. There's the labor of the world, and St. Paul says that the wages of sin is death. But if you're working in the vineyard of the Lord, the reward is eternal life. That's why we're here. And look at that group, though, that got paid, worked the longest. One of the characteristics, though, we see in them is an ingratitude. They didn't have grateful hearts. They weren't thankful for the labor, the privilege to work in the vineyard. Now, they weren't beating down the owner's door for the job. He had to go out and find them. And the same is true with us. We are here grateful and full of gratitude for being a part of the Lord's family. And yes, it involves work. Jesus says, if you're my disciple, pick up your cross and follow me. We look at Jesus, look at the labor that he had, and we're imitating that in different ways. But it's a privilege to be here at Mass, a privilege. And the Lord's helping us to be grateful for this grace, this gift, to grow in gratitude and in generosity, because we want to give more and more of ourselves like God gives to us, like Jesus gives to us in this Mass. We celebrate his sacrifice that becomes present on this altar. We receive his body and blood. So there's this generosity, this river of generosity flowing from Christ to you and me. Now, it's hard to grow in generosity. It takes conversion. I was thinking of our children. I learned so much. I think we all do learn so much from children. I love the part of the Mass where it's the presentation of the gifts and the kids have an opportunity to give something, put something in the basket, in some way participate with what's happening on the altar. And you have the kids running, you see their joy, they're running to put something in the basket. A lot of especially one little girl in the back, she'll just come running down that aisle. She can hardly wait to get up to the front. So there's joy there, but also sometimes you see a child struggling to give. They'll come up kind of excited, but then they have in this one little boy, he had a fistful of coins. And as he tried to put it in the basket, it wasn't going. He wasn't opening his hand. And so with his left hand, he started to pull the coins out one at a time so that they could go into the basket. Doesn't that characterize all of us? We have in our hearts, we want to be generous, but we also struggle with the closed fist. There's some fear involved. If I let this go, it's gone, and somehow my security is compromised. That's the whole point. We got to put ourselves on the line for the Lord. Yes, there's a sacrifice. Look, that's what it means to carry the cross. It's through death to life. I had a woman come up after the last Mass I had, and she said, "Yes, Father, I have to share this. It was a really cute story about her child. She was a 3-year-old girl who had a penny, and her younger brother wanted the penny to put in the basket. And this little 3-year-old girl had a hard time giving up her penny. She was doing this at a mass where there was it was a Carmelite setting. A lot of religious sisters were there, and they saw the little girl struggle to give up the penny. Well, the next week they came back, and the little girl's name was Madeline. And the sister had a little chest in her hands. And she said, "Madeline, come here." She was so excited to see the little girl. And the little girl was excited to see sister. And she bent down and she gave Madeline this little box, locked box. She had a key. Said, "Madeline, you gave up your penny last week. And we wanted to give you this gift." And when Madeline opened the little box, it was a box full of pennies. It just flowed out all over the ground. And Madeline just screamed for joy. But then the sister said, "Madeline, that little penny that you gave has come back 100-fold. Your sacrifice blessed all of us when we saw you do that. It made a difference in our lives so that we know that we can give ourselves more fully to God." Isn't that, that's the blessing of God. When we give, God gives to us more and more. And what is God's plan for all of us? That we become just like Jesus in every way possible. That we literally become like God. We're made in God's image and likeness. Union with God means we will be like God, as generous as God is generous. How are we doing, huh? When we look at the statistics, and this is true of not only St. Thomas, but most parishes, when you look at the patterns of giving, 30% of registered families support everything that goes on, pretty much, in the parish. 50%, as far as we can tell, don't even give a cent. Not even a dollar, as far as we can tell. As far as we can tell. Another 20% maybe gives a few dollars. Now, I have to admit, I was in that category. I remember sitting in the pew when I did come to Mass. The Lord forgive me, but that's how I was. And when the basket would pass me by, I would let it pass me by. Once in a while, I might throw in a dollar or two. And that's how I rationalized that. Well, you know, everybody's giving. There's such a big parish. Everybody's here giving. They're not going to miss my few dollars. And all I can say is thank God from this point of view. Thank God not we don't all think like that. The church would be holy, but a different kind of holy. There'd be holes in the walls and windows, right? We wouldn't be able to fix up the place if everybody thought like I did back then. But a change of heart came. That very, you know, one day the basket passed me by, and I began to think about where I was going after Mass. I was going to go out with some friends and have a good dinner. And I was going to tip the waiter as a part of my dinner. I was going to be tipping the waiter more than what I was putting in the collection basket. And I began to think about that. I'm not even giving God as much as I would tip somebody. Is that what God asks? No, right? I was convicted. So I began to change. It was a stretch, though, right? It's that tension. I began to give at least every week what I would give at a dinner, a nice dinner. That's I began to, and it changed the way I thought about life with God, my life in the parish. It was a slow change, conversion. Others, of course, I finally entered the seminary and followed the call of the Lord, and my eyes opened even more when I started to work for the parish and see all the things that have to go on to make a parish work. It's amazing. You know, thousands of people come through this parish every single week. Thousands. Just on the weekend, over 1,600. It's beautiful what goes on here, day in and day out. There's outreach ministries, all so many things that your contribution, our contributions, because I contribute as well, support the life of this parish. But we could do so much more. What if every registered parishioner tithed? We have 1,900 registered families. A tithe is giving God the top 10% of your earnings right off the bat. First fruits, the best, go to God. What if everybody gave 10%? We'd never have to do a capital fund drive ever again. That's number one. Number two, anybody here could send their child to school. Any family who wanted to send their child to Catholic school could do so without any tuition, zero tuition. We could do so much more with outreach. We're at the doorsteps of the U of M. Wonderful opportunity for us, but it does require ministers, and ministers have to be paid, right? They have to work for a living. Working for the churches, they don't get very much. I'll tell you that. Huge sacrifice. But all of the church ministers do it because they love the Lord and love you. So we're grateful. We're privileged. Brothers and sisters, I'd ask you to consider how we can stretch and grow in terms of our generosity to the Lord. One thing is certain, when we give, God promises that we'll receive, even if it's in the fifth hour, the 11th hour, the final hour. It's never too late to begin.